Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Father, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, today is the day that you have made. Lord, you knew that this day would be here. You knew that this year would be here well before, since the beginning of time, Lord. And you knew the types of people that needed to be in the game during a time like this. And you've called us. And I pray that we would all have faith in you today, but we'd also have faith in ourselves in knowing that you put us here for a reason, for a purpose. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts today, open up our minds, and help us to see exactly what we need to see to be able to do the things that we need to do and be the people that we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today I'm talking to you guys about why plans fail. Basically, I kind of say this every time I speak, it seems, but today's going to be a little different. I've been listening to my sermons. I always started off with, today's going to be a little different. Apparently, it's always different when I speak. But today is different because I don't have a lot of scripture. But what I do have is I have a framework that I believe if you apply this framework to your Christian walk or anything else in life, but basically your life, and as Christians, we've given our lives to God. So if you apply this framework to your life, you're going to be able to be the person that God has called you to be. At least you're going to be better off than you would if you weren't intentional, okay? So I'm talking to you guys today about being intentional. It's called Why Plans Fail, but really I'm going to give you a framework to make sure that our plans don't fail. God gives us these visions. He gives us these plans, and in the end, it's up to us to put these into practice. And so I have a short amount of time, but I'm going to get to it. We're going to get through 8 slides in about 15 minutes. I think we can do it. You guys think so? All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys a basis, okay? Think of this as a pyramid. And this the first point is the bottom of the pyramid. The second point is the next level, the next level, next level. Now, if you get the foundation built right, if you get your foundation built right, you can build on top of that. And so I want to talk to you guys about plans, but in order to talk to you guys about plans, I have to talk to you guys about a couple other things first, okay? So the first thing that I want to talk to you guys about, and I believe this is the most important trait that we can have as human beings, it's honesty. I'm going to let that sit there for a second, honesty. There are many sides to honesty. You can learn to be dishonest with others. We learned that at a very young age, right? My daughter's 4, and I'll ask her, did you do that? And I could see her wheels turning. We always get the truth out of her, but at first she's trying to think, what can I say? You know, so we learn at a very young age to be dishonest with others, but there's a more poisonous dishonesty that I want to talk to you about, and that's being dishonest with yourself. Some of us, we live life where we just aren't really that self-aware. We're not honest about who we are. We're not honest about the things we need to work on in our lives. We're not honest people. And I think that it's biblical. I know that it's biblical for us to continue to examine ourselves. That's when we take communion, we examine ourselves. And we should do that on a regular basis. I know we don't do that at church all the time, but we need to do that at home. We can do that at home. Grab your juice or if you're feeling crazy, get a little wine, whatever you want to do. And take your communion by yourself and examine your heart. When you do that, you're looking at yourself and you're self-evaluating, right? You're saying, am I the person that God has called me to be? Am I the person that I know God is calling me to be? So being honest is very, very important. If you're not honest with yourself, it's very, very difficult. I would say impossible to build from there. The second one is loyalty. Loyalty is so important. We are called as Christians to be loyal to who? Jesus. Jesus Christ. That's why we're called Christians, right? Our loyalty is with him. And I think of when Jesus called the disciples, when he walked out there on the Sea of Galilee, these guys were busy working. They were in their careers, right? They were doing what they were supposed to be doing in life. They probably had families. They had a lot going on. Some of them did, some didn't. But we know Peter had a wife because he has a mother-in-law at the beginning of Mark. So he had a wife. And if you guys are married, you know the wife is like, make sure you provide for me. You have to provide for the family, right, as men. And I am more traditional when it comes to that. You know, I know some women do that too. But Peter was out there working. He was making a life for himself. And Jesus, when he came upon Peter, he said, follow me. And Peter stopped. He threw down his career. He laid down his career immediately, and he followed Jesus. That is loyalty, and that's immediate loyalty. And for those of us that call ourselves Christians, we're doing ourselves a disservice if we call ourselves a Christian, but we're not loyal to him. We're not loyal to the teachings and the ways of Jesus. We're not loyal to our relationship with him, right? Loyalty is huge. The third one is commitment. And I'm going to spend more time on the next couple, but commitment is putting that loyalty into action, right? It's actually, we have a saying around VBF, that you throw your hat over the fence. And the idea is that if you throw your hat over the fence and you really like that hat, what do you got to do? You got to jump that fence and go get that hat, right? And so you've got to commit. You've got to, and we're always doing this at VBF. I think this is the way, we have a very, very sink or swim mentality around here. We're like, hey, how am I going to accomplish that? I know, I'll commit to it before I know how to do it, and then I'll figure it out, right? And with God's help, you end up getting a lot further than you thought you would. I want to share a verse with you guys in Philippians 3, 8 through 11. This is commitment right here. This is Paul speaking. He says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Go ahead and stop it there, Sandy, because I want to focus on that first verse there. He says, whatever things were gained to me, I counted as loss, right? And then in verse 8, he says, I count all things to be lost in the view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, how many of us, we get hung up on the idea of Paul talking about loss, right? Let's say you have your whole entire life, your plans, everything that is in your life, your wants, your desires, your relationships, your status or lack of or whatever, like all these things in life, right? There's a worth to the things in our life. But Paul says that all these things are rubbish. They're trash. They're nothing compared to the worth of knowing Christ. And so I think a lot of us get caught up in the loss of everything aspect. We're like, everything? Really? Everything? We have to lose everything to follow God? But we don't realize that scripture is not talking about loss. It's talking about surpassing worth. There's your entire life and it's worth something. Then there's this gift that we have of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord, and the worth surpasses that of everything else in our life. The worth is higher. So it's actually a really good deal to give everything in your life to know Jesus is actually a really, really good deal. I don't know if you guys are like me, but I like good deals. Anybody like good deals? There's this story online of this kid who had an old iPhone, right? And he ended up trading it in for something else. I forget what it was, but he traded it in for like a computer and then a dirt bike and then another kind of vehicle. And then he ended up getting to the point where he had a Porsche. So he traded in a cell phone for a Porsche. It's the craziest thing. That's a good deal, right? A cell phone for a Porsche, that's a really good deal. He had to go through some steps, but that's the way it is with us in our Christianity, is we're trading in an old cell phone for a Porsche, you know? The fourth one, and this is the one I really want to spend time on, is attitude. Attitude. It's very important. How many of you guys have a great attitude this morning? Yes, you do, because you're up Sunday morning, you're at church. Of course you have a good attitude, because you chose to have a good attitude, right? Put your big boy pants on. That's what they say, right? Your choice of attitude drastically affects how you feel. And how you feel determines what you do and how you act. We choose our attitude, right? If you have a trial, it's coming today at 2 p.m. You don't know it's coming today. It's going to be a surprise. You're going to walk home and you're just going to be surprised there's a flood or whatever, right? It's going to be something. Trials are always like that. That's the nature of trials. They're always surprises. And when we're surprised by our trials, we either handle them well or we don't. And I think that we handle them well when we choose to have a good attitude. I've been reading this book, and I listened to her TED Talk. There's a lady named Lisa Feldman Barrett. She's a professor at Northeastern University. She wrote a book. She wrote the book on emotions. So the book is called How Emotions Are Made. But I want to read you guys some stuff from her real quick because I think it's really important. She said in her TED Talk, and you can Google this, Lisa Barrett TED, you'll find it. But I want to read you guys some parts of this TED Talk. It says, so what are emotions really? She said, well, emotions are guesses. They are guesses that your brain constructs in the moment where billions of brain cells are working together and you have more control over these guesses than you might think. Predictions are the basis of every experience that you have. They are the basis of every action that you take. In fact, predictions are what allow you to understand the words that I'm saying as they come out of my... what do you know? Predictions are primal. They help us make sense of the world in a safe and efficient way so your brain does not react to the world. Using past experience, your brain predicts and constructs your experience of the world. The mind, you guys know when you wake up in the morning and your mind is racing, there's all these things that you have to do. There's all these stresses. There's all these things going on in your mind. All these worries, these things you have to accomplish. Anybody like that? Or are you guys like me where you wake up and it's just a fog and then you have your coffee and then your mind starts racing, right? Like that's really more of my kind of feel. Well, when that happens, she said that when your mind is racing, it's a prediction. Your brain is searching to find an explanation for those sensations in your body that you experience as wretchedness. So your brain is trying to explain what causes those sensations so you'll know what to do with them. But those sensations, they might have a purely physical cause, such as lack of sleep, hunger, or dehydration. So sometimes when we feel cruddy, it's because we are hungry or hangry or thirsty. Or we haven't slept. How many of you guys are getting enough sleep? They're starting to say that 9 hours is good. Like 9 to 10 hours. They are. This is a real thing. They're starting to say it. We laugh. But how many of you guys have, when's the last time you got 9 hours of sleep? How many of you guys are lucky if you get 5, 6, right? I mean, we learn to function on a lack of sleep. But 1 Kings 19, 3-8, this is a really interesting scripture, and I thought this was funny. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. It says, then he was afraid. This is Elijah. He's running from Jezebel, okay? We talked about this the other day. He's running from Jezebel. He's afraid for his life. It says, he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die. He's suicidal, okay? He's depressed. He is suicidal, okay? That's really what's going on here. Saying, it is enough now. Oh, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He's depressed. He's sad. It says he lay down and he slept under a broom tree. He's depressed and he sleeps. He's getting a need met, a physical need met, right? And behold, an angel woke him up, touched him. Who knows how long he slept, right? He was asleep. The angel comes and pokes him with a stick. He says, arise and eat. Doesn't say stick, but I assume. Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and he lay down again. He slept again. He ate some food. He drank some water. He slept again. Next verse. Okay, so the next verse basically says that he went on that food and that water for 40 days and 40 nights. He was able to be sustained for 40 days and 40 nights on that food and water and that sleep. Physical needs are important. Sometimes we have a bad attitude because we feel like crud because we aren't taking care of ourselves. So she also gives a warning that she talks about the idea that you can choose to basically construct better emotions before they come. If you wake up in the morning tomorrow and say, you know what, whatever happens today, I'm going to be cool, calm, and collected. I know that it's going to be okay, right? And you have that attitude, and you're driving to work. Somebody cuts you off. You're going to be reminded of, oh, yeah, I said that today's going to be okay. I'm going to be cool. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be collected, right? Versus you wake up tomorrow and go, crap, I've got 10 things I got to do. Oh, my gosh, I am so stressed out. And you get on the freeway, somebody cuts you off. Then what do? I don't even want to know what you guys are going to do, right? Maybe fingers flying and verbiage used. I see you guys on the freeway. I see you guys in the VBF parking lot, man. It's the best when you get cut off in the parking lot at church. And then somebody just looks at you. Have you guys ever been flipped off in the parking lot at church? Pastor Hector's way in the back. He said, yeah. Oh, man. Who flips off a pastor in the parking lot of the church? It's Tony. That's his best friend. All right, so if you have honesty, you have loyalty, you're committed, you have the right attitude, now it's time to make plans, right? Now you're set up to make plans. A lot of us, we start with plans, but we don't have the foundation down, right? We don't have the structure in place. And we plan, and then our plans fail, and we wonder why. And really simple, when you make your plans, one thing I have to say about that is make your plans, but be flexible, because life is unpredictable, and God moves in the unpredictable. So if God does something in your life or allows something in your life that you don't even think is pleasant, you have to ask yourselves, why? Why did God allow this to happen? My plans aren't working out, so I'm going to have to reevaluate because God is doing something else. So be flexible in your plans. The next thing is actions. Now, the beauty of actions at this point is the actions are easy. You have an entire foundation set at this point, so you're going to know what to do. You know who you're loyal to. You know who you're committed to. You're committed to Jesus. You're committed to having the right attitude. You're committed to living a life that God would honor. So you're going to know what to do, and you're going to know how to do it. This is a bit of a pyramid. Go ahead and put the next slide up. If we have the base of honesty and we have loyalty and we have commitment, we have the right attitude and we make good plans, then our actions are just going to be a byproduct of those things. And then the last thing is reevaluation. It's a process. It's a cycle. It's something that we do over and over and over, right? We continue to look at our lives. We continue to ask ourselves if we're being honest. We continue to ask ourselves if we're being loyal to the one who we've given our life to. We continue to ask ourselves what our attitudes are. We continue to worship. We continue to praise. We continue to appreciate what God has done in our lives. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come out, and we're going to do that right now. We're going to worship Him. We're going to focus on Him and all the things that He's done. Every single time that we focus on God, we understand how little we are in comparison to Him, but yet how much more worth we have than we thought, because He, in His grand, in His amazing grace, in His huge love, loves us so much, and He cares about us as children. We are His kids, right? So let's pray this. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would come to You right now simply. I pray, Lord, that we would come to You as children, that we would come to You as Your kids, that we would come to You as babies, and we would have a simple mindset right now. Lord, some of us, we get so caught up in news stories, we get so caught up in what people are saying, we get so caught up in other people's bad attitudes that we forget the simplicity of just coming before You as children and saying, hi, Dad, we need You, we love You, we're here. So let us have that attitude today. Let us have that heart today as we worship You. We love You, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.